Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
You can spend as little as €3 or nearly €70,000 on a pair. There are in-ear, on-ear and over-ear models, and you can even get a set that'll operate perfectly well in a swimming pool. I am talking, of course, about headphones or earphones, and Adam Maguire from RT is here to sort through the wheat from the chaff when it comes to earphones. There is about as much shelf space devoted to headphones and earphones now as there is to phones. Pretty dizzying array of choice.
Yeah, there really is, and it shows what big business they are as well. So many brands selling headphones now, from the big tech companies that expect, like Apple and Samsung, small producers that you've never heard of before, and even some companies that you wouldn't expect, like Dyson, for example, make headphones now too. You might have the big over-ear headphones, the on-ear ones you mentioned. You might have within that a studio version or a gaming version, and of course then you have the in-ear types, the pods, the buds, depending on what company is selling them. And most of those companies will then sell options within that. So they'll have a pro model or a sports model, which will have slightly different features and come at a different price as well. And then, of course, you go wired or wireless as well. So much choice, so many options that it can get a bit confusing.
My next question is a little bit like, what's the best flavour of boiled sweet? Because it's an entirely subjective test, but what are the best headphones?
Well, it's obviously a humbug, first of all, to your first question. But no, it really depends on
what
you're... I
would put you as a Werther's original, man.
Too sickly. No, they're nice, but too much. No, it really depends on what you're using them for. You can probably, you know, go to the your nearby Eurosaver type shop and get a pair of wired headphones for €2 or €3. You can get wireless ones for as little as €6, the ones that are tethered together but wireless from your phone. They're not going to be very, very good. They'll probably break quite easily, but they'll do the job in a pinch. You could spend €1,000 on a pair of high-end headphones, and that would be cheap in some people's eyes. You know, there's a pair of Sennheiser headphones that, as you mentioned them, they cost nearly €70,000. Now, they do come with a high-end tube amplifier system as well, which maybe justifies a tiny amount of that price.
Do you have any idea what that is?
It's a very particular way of amplification. These little, it's very old-fashioned looking, looks kind of steampunky retro thing, okay, of these little tubes. Okay. But anyway, yeah. For most people, though, you know, you're talking €50, €100, maybe €200 on a pretty decent pair. And after that, then, after your budget, then it comes down to, what are you going to use them for? How are you going to use them? And where are you going to use them as well? And that will dictate the decisions.
As a radio reporter, I seem to spend a very large portion of my life untangling cables and wires from each other and just looking forward to the day when all of this technology can be wireless or can be Bluetooth. But is there a reduction of quality once you go down the wireless route?
Generally speaking, yes. A wired headphone is going to be a higher quality and probably going to be a little bit cheaper as well, because when you send audio over Bluetooth, it's usually compressed compared to the original track. So,
you're listening to is compressed anyway.
Well, that is true. If you're listening to it on a streaming service, or, you know, it's an MP3 or something like that, the chances are it already is compressed. And unless you're a real audiophile and you have kind of high-end equipment at every step in the process, from the track itself to the device that it's streaming from and all the rest, you're probably not really going to notice the difference. It's probably a marginal difference as well. But the technology as well is getting better around wireless streaming as well. So, you know, the quality is getting better. And as I said, for most people, you're probably not going to not notice the difference. And of course, you know, the one problem that you'll encounter with wired headphones, besides it being a tangled mess and you having to untangle the wire every time, is that it's actually harder and harder to find places to plug a headphone into nowadays. Most smartphones don't have the old headphone jack in them anymore. You have to get a little adapter, which means that's something else you have to carry along with you as well. And, you know, that's just another worry you have as well. I also find that, again, with cheaper models, the wires tend to fray after a certain amount of time or come loose, and one ear goes and the other. And of course, with wireless headphones, you have that benefit of, you know, you're not tangled up in wires. You're not tethered to the thing you're listening to. You can walk around your room or your house or whatever it might be. The downside, of course, though, of wireless is that you have to keep it charged. It's another thing you have to remember to charge all the time. And wireless headphones probably have a slightly shorter lifespan because the battery is going to degrade over time and it's probably not replaceable, especially those little in-ear ones, because there's a lot of tech squashed in there, glued together, and they're pretty much impossible to repair. So once the battery degrades or something goes wrong, you have to throw them out and get a new pair, which isn't very good from an environmental perspective or a consumer perspective.
When I was in college, I had a job in what was then Harry Moore's, the sort of the Power City or the DID of its day, selling hi-fis. I can tell you without fear of contradiction that the greatest amount of nonsense about any subject that has ever been talked is when two men start comparing sound quality on different amps and different sets of speakers. It's just spoofery of the highest order. Complete nonsense.
And I think for 99% of people, they're going to be happy with the compromise, or they just won't notice that there is a compromise.
And they're never going to notice the difference between a compressed and an uncompressed MP3 file. Okay, so look, whether we're talking about wired or wireless, there's lots of headphones that will say that nowadays that they have noise cancelling in them. Sometimes, I get very confused about this, it says that there's passive noise cancelling, sometimes there's active noise cancelling. Can you explain the difference to all of this, please?
Yeah, so passive noise cancelling is essentially the noise that's being blocked physically by the earphones or the headphones. So if you think of those big over-ear ones, they're covering your ear, so they're stopping sound or making it harder for sound to actually get to your ear physically in the way. So even if you're not listening to anything on them, they're getting in the way of blocking sound. That's passive noise cancelling. Same goes for the in-ear ones that maybe have a little rubber gasket that kind of make them sit snugly in your ear canal. Again, it's physically blocking other sounds from getting into your ear without actually doing anything at all in terms of technology or anything like that.
I wonder what view do the ENT specialists take of those ones that sit right into the ear? And
yeah, there are some, they probably not ideal, I don't know, but yeah, I'd be interested to hear what they think as well. Active noise cancelling though is a far more complicated thing. It's a bit of a marvel, really, because it involves your headphones doing a lot of complicated science kind of on the fly in real time as you're listening to them. So they would have microphones built into them that are sitting kind of facing out. And what they do is, say, you know, they listen to the noise that's around, they take the waveform and they flip it upside down and play it back to you at the same time. And that effectively cancels.
Wow.
That noise out. So if you imagine you're on an airplane, there's the hum of a plane, it picks up that sound, flips it and plays it in real time back to you, and it essentially cancels out the noise altogether. So this is why it's very good with things like traffic, where there's a constant hum. Less so if, say, there's a sudden noise like the beep of a horn, because
it's not going to be able to do that in
real
time.
It has to essentially replicate the sound and get it to your ear at the same time as the sound itself. So it's going to be hard to do. The constant sound is where it works quite well. A sudden sound.
So that low office hubbub you would be able to cancel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Those kind of hums, traffic, all that kind of stuff as well. Some of the more advanced headphones as well would give you the ability to kind of tweak how much noise cancelling it does. So with Apple, for example, their AirPods have a transparency mode where...
I can tune out Adam Maguire if I want, but pay attention to our editor.
Not quite that precise, but it might be more that, say, you can take out some of the hum that's around you, but you're still going to pick up some of the noise that's going on around you and voices and things like that, so that you're aware of your surroundings, which could be, you know, good from a safety point of view, for example, as well. And the technology works in the other direction as well, because if you have your headphones on for a hands-free call, it can flip the waveform of the background noise coming from you going to the person you're speaking to. So if you're in a noisy area, it will take that background noise, wipe it out, so that the person that you're speaking to doesn't hear that and can hear your voice more clearly over it. So it's quite a clever technology.
Because as it is at the moment, without that, the phone that you're talking over very often is not able to distinguish between your voice, which you do want to be heard, and all of the other noises. It gives equal emphasis.
Yeah, and
to
everything
both.
Goes through, and it becomes a really poor quality line as a result of that. But yeah, the noise cancelling technology can work for that as well. So it's very clever.
When I get messages from my phone telling me that I have been listening to my headphones too long and too loud, but yet I don't think that I have, should I be paying any attention to those messages?
Yeah, this is where, you know, you might get a prompt and your noise exposure level is at dangerous levels or something like that, and it might actually lower it down automatically, which can actually be a bit annoying. And I find myself that what it thinks is acceptable level seems very low to me. I'm not sure if that's because I'm so used to playing things too loud and my hearing is damaged, or what am I might be.
I feel like saying to my phone, yeah, but I'm deaf.
Yeah, well, that is part of it. But it can be accurate. It might not be. Essentially, it boils down to, are the headphones or the speaker that you're using the same company as the phone that's giving you the warning? If it is, so if it's Apple and Apple, it has a better idea of the level that's going into the headphones and then into your ear. So it's probably relatively accurate. You probably should pay some attention to it. But if it's a different company, it's making a guess. And essentially what it's saying is you have the volume up high for a long time, it's probably too loud. But what actually may be happening is the song you're listening to is very low, so you have to boost it up anyway, or the headphones aren't good quality.
There are some of these earphones that will claim to be completely waterproof, others that will say that they're splash proof and so on. Should we believe any of these claims?
What you need to look for is a thing called the IP code, ingress protection, and it takes form of IP and then two digits as well. And this is kind of a internationally recognised standard which tells you how waterproof and dustproof it is. So the first digit is dustproof, the second digit is waterproof.
You know, I've forgotten all of this already.
Well, yeah, it's basically the lower the number, the worse it is, the higher the better. So if it's a zero or an X, it's not waterproof at all. If it's a one, it's a light shower of rain, say, that it
and
might.
Does it go all the way to 11? And like,
it
how
goes all the way
take?
Up to 9, basically, which is that it will be submerged in a metre of water for half an hour at high temperatures and high pressures, and it will still be fine. So 9 would be the gold standard. But somewhere in the middle is probably what you're looking for. If you're talking about it being out in the rain, or you're using it when exercising and it's going to get sweaty and things like
Ick,
that.
You didn't need to say that.
Sorry, but that's the reality. And dust then goes up to 6, just to make it more confusing. Dust goes to 6, and water goes to 9.
Water goes to 9.
On the protection.
But nothing goes to 11. Adam Maguire, thank you very much. Let's take a break.
Text 51551. Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.